Most people live by what they know. It's better and better for you if you can live by what you believe. I didn't say it was easier to do that, but it's better. And so each week at Daleville Christian Church, we have an affirmation of our faith together. This one from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 17 and 19. He, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. The reading of God's word for today is from Matthew chapter 2, the first 8 verses. Not all of the report of the visit of the Magi, but just the beginning of that report as we read it in Matthew's gospel. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. In America, we call this the Christmas season. In many churches, the season is called Advent. Christmas is a season in many churches, but it is 12 days long from Christmas Day until the Epiphany, when Jesus' appearance to the wise men is celebrated. Epiphany meaning, a Greek word meaning, appearance. That was the original Christmas, so to speak, the first celebration in the churches of the followers of Jesus, when they celebrated the appearance of Jesus to other people represented in the wise men. The ancient church first celebrated Jesus being seen, Jesus' appearance to the wise men. The actual birth of Jesus was not celebrated in the ancient church until a little later. But before you read it somewhere else, let me assure you that the date of Christmas on our calendars, December 25th, was not decided by the Pope, or any Pope, because first of all, before the year 1054 AD, there was more than one Pope. So no one pope could make such a decision. And the other reason that can't be possible is that the date decided upon December 25th was a consensus of the worshiping followers of Jesus. The churches decided that December the 25th would work out just fine. And so the church began to celebrate Jesus' birth separately from Jesus' appearance to the wise men. And I apologize for being a stickler on this, but even some authoritative publications like the Smithsonian get that fact incorrect and it bugs me. The reports of Jesus' birth, and there are two of them, one in Luke and one in Matthew, are beloved around the world. They are so loved that it does not bother us to sing about them incorrectly. We three kings of Orient are. We just love the story so much we will often forgive the poetic license of the hymn writer. We forgive the inaccuracy that the wise men were kings when the Bible says they were magi, not kings, and we sing about three of them even though we don't really know how many there were. It's just that there were three distinct gifts mentioned. Not the number of gifts, not the size of gifts, or their weight. I can be a stickler for detail, can I not? Well, here's the thing. Because we think we know this story so well, we no longer pay attention to what Matthew is telling us in his gospel account. And we can't really receive the blessing that Matthew wants to give us if we won't listen to what Matthew is saying. But that's my job, isn't it? As a minister of the Word of God, to help you hear the Word of God so the blessing of God's Word will pour out. So let's hear again from Matthew. In the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men, or magi, from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Now, Matthew spent all of his first chapter telling you about Jesus' lineage, a genealogy, that Jesus was a son of David. And to Matthew, the Jew, writing for a Jewish congregation, that's a great introduction to a book about the Messiah, who was to be in the lineage of David, Israel's greatest king. But the next chapter, Matthew draws our attention away from Israel, away from Judea. Matthew wants to show us some foreigners, whom he calls magi. Foreigners. Unless you are convinced that these magi were foreigners, you'll miss the blessing that Matthew is trying to share with us. We'll come back to this, but Matthew is telling you that these magi were foreigners by place. They're not from around here. They were foreigners by occupation. They were foreigners in the situation described. They're traveling. And they were foreigners by faith. They were what the Jewish people would have called pagans. And here they were, in Judea, coming to the capital, Jerusalem. Now let's think about foreigners for a minute here in America. I think I should state the obvious here. Many Americans have trouble with foreigners. February 22, 2017, a man in the town of Olathe, Kansas, opened fire in a bar, killing one man, injuring another. He reportedly had called them terrorists and told the two men to get out of my country. The shooter, Adam Purinton, age 51, believed that the two men were from the Middle East. They were actually from India, and they were working for a local company in Olathe, Kansas. However, a white patron at the same bar tried to intervene to help the two victims when he himself was shot by Mr. Puritan. That's one experience of foreigners in America. I want to tell you another one, which is much less dramatic, but also noteworthy. Way back in 2013, Deborah and I had driven to Amherst, Massachusetts to help our daughter and her fiancé, now husband, to move back to the Midwest. When we left them on July 4th, we traveled the northern route on the New York State Thruway. We made a restroom stop, and Deb commented that on the 4th of July, in northern New York, in the women's restroom, where there were at least 10 women, Deb was the only woman who did not have her head covered, and by the sound of it, the only woman who spoke English regularly. Every one of the other ladies were of a different culture and a different cultural practice than Deborah. They were wearing what you and I might call saris, which can be draped over the head. Were they U.S. citizens? I don't know. Deb and I had just that morning in a restaurant across the street from the county courthouse in Amherst, Massachusetts, seen many types of dress for men and women who were at the courthouse that morning to be sworn in as brand new U.S. citizens. Some among them were indeed wearing saris. Often in the United States, we think we know who foreigners are. But if we had accurate pictures of the wise men, the Magi in Jerusalem, we probably could not tell by actually seeing them whether they were foreigners in Jerusalem or not. Probably Jerusalemites knew right away that the Magi were foreigners by language, mannerisms, dress. Now, I should also mention that tradition usually depicts one of the Magi as African, as black. It's true that perhaps not all of the Magi came from the same place. I even remember that my family had a manger scene that was imported from Germany before World War II, and even they included an African among the wise men who were journeying to see Jesus. I should also add, however, that the Jesus in the manger was a blonde, blue-eyed baby. But on with the point about the wise men that Jerusalemites probably knew right away that the Magi were foreigners by language, by mannerisms, by dress. But I wonder if you ever noticed that the whole verse, the 12 verses in Matthew's second chapter, and the whole story of the Magi, Matthew tells us only two sentences that the Magi ever are quoted as saying. One question, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews?" followed by their intentions, "For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." These Magi we remember every year. We have only two sentences from them. My sources tell me that no Jewish person in those days would have used the phrase King of the Jews. Jew is not a place. It's a people. King are kings of a realm. Rulers have realms, places. King of Israel is a king of place, a realm. So when the wise men posed their question, whoever heard them ask their famous question, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews?" anyone who heard them may have responded, "Say, you guys aren't from around here, are you?" The other clue that these guys are foreigners is their occupation or preoccupation. "We have seen his star," is what they add. The palace butler in Jerusalem might have said, "You saw his what?" His star. "We saw his light in the sky." These Magi are stargazers. But there's no tradition of stargazing in Israel. Never had been. Stargazing is what pagans do. And they do that because they don't know the God who made the stars. If you have questions for a Jew, if you're a Jew and have questions, you ask God. You don't ask the stars. You ask the one who made the stars questions. So Matthew, in just a few verses, lets you know just how foreign these foreigners are. Matthew doesn't even tell us where they are from exactly, and there is the possibility that they weren't all from the very same place or palace. Now, they had to be attached to a royal household because no one else but royalty could afford to employ astrologers. But they lived to the east of Jerusalem. Matthew is telling you that these magi were foreigners by place. They are not from around here. They were foreigners by occupation. They were magi, stargazers. They were foreigners in their present situation, asking for directions. And they were foreigners by faith. Because they were magi and then stargazers. And they sought not the king of Israel, which is what Herod would have been, or Judea, but they sought the king of the Jews. Matthew's telling us these magi in their present situation were foreign out of their element, because even though they knew who they were looking for and their GPS, the light in the sky, got them this far into Israel, into Judea, they didn't know where to find the so-called king of the Jews. These magi may not have been lost, but close to it. So they may have thought, well, if this newborn is a king, let's check at the capital city. Someone there might be able to help us. Matthew gives us all another clue. The GPS the magi are using, the lights in the sky, the stars, it's foreign made. No one in Israel or Judea has a GPS that uses the stars or follows the lights in the sky. The only other people besides the Persians and the Babylonians who probably used the stars were the Greeks and the Romans. And here's a kind of a surprise that took place at the palace in Jerusalem. No one there at the palace seemed to know anything about any king of the Jews, newborn or otherwise, let alone as to where this person might be. So the king in Israel, Herod, has to ask his wise men, Herod's scholars, Judea's scribes, and the head priests, both the present one and the former head priests, and consult with them all. And what do they consult? They consult the Bible. Because someone figured out that in the wise men's question, King of the Jews might be a Messiah title. They looked up the Messiah passages in the scripture. Aha, Bethlehem. And if you read, or if you have read Matthew's first chapter, it's no surprise, Bethlehem, a city of David from which Messiah would come. So let's compare and contrast. Let's compare and contrast the king of Israel and the king of the Jews. Let's contrast the wise men foreigners with the wise men native-born Judeans, God's people. The pagan foreigners had come seeking to worship the true God's Messiah, even though they were pagan. And they connected with God's word, the Bible, so they could go and worship. Meanwhile, the king of God's people in Judea, the king of Israel of the Jews and his wise men, they have had God's word available, but were completely caught off guard by the foreigners who seem to know a lot more about Jerusalem's and the Messiah and knew more than Jerusalem's wise men did about the Lord God's action in bringing the Messiah at that moment and in that place. And then the wise foreigners would further seek the Messiah and find him. Do you see part of what Matthew is trying to bless you with here? Even if you are a foreigner, even if you feel like a foreigner, or you feel like a foreigner in faith, there is a way open for you to come to Jesus. If you feel like a foreigner among Christians, among believers, there is a way open for you to come to Jesus. Just because you don't know the Bible, you haven't read much of it, you don't know your way around, just because you weren't raised going to church, even if your parents were pagans, no part of your past will prevent you from being led to Jesus. So what if you're not one of God's people? God's people back then missed it, and they were right there when it all took place. But the foreigners tracked God's activity in the stars at first, and then in God's Word, the Bible. You can too. With God, there is no required pedigree to come and worship the true God. John the Baptist would later tell some of the Jewish leadership, if God has to have children of Abraham, God will just turn the stones into children of Abraham. God doesn't have to have children of Abraham as his followers. With God, there is no qualifying exam to know that you want to worship the Messiah, the King of the Jews. God invites you all. God invites you also to come to Him through His Anointed One, Jesus. God invites those who are afar off and those who are near. That's what God's Word says. We stated it in our affirmation of faith this morning. Ephesians 2:17, hear now the common English version. Christ came and preached peace to you Gentiles who were far from God, and peace to us Jews who were near God. See, maybe if you are a foreigner, or even feel like one, maybe you're not. But either way, you can have peace with God through Jesus, the Messiah. And maybe I should say to you of the family of God, because of Jesus, you were a foreigner, but no longer. Now you are a member of God's household through Jesus. Matthew wanted you to know. Those magi from somewhere far away, they were foreigners. And we haven't even talked about what happened next with those foreigners, but that is for next time. Peace to you, and Amen.